I wish that we would, as Christians, decide to make spiritual things part of our Monday through Friday life. I wish we as Christians on the weekend would seek out God. I wish. Because today, we were even talking about it today at the dinner table, it's not as it used to be where you can work 40 hours a week and support your family. Anymore, you have to have two of you working 40 hours a week, and one usually has to work more than that. The time that we get to spend together anymore is so precious and so quick and so fleeting. I worry that our households are falling apart just specifically because we just can't find the time for each other anymore. It ought not be. I believe that the devil has done a great job at making us run around like crazy on this earth, thinking of everything in the whole wide world to do except what God wants us to do. Not bad things, mind you. Not bad things at all. A lot of the times, the things that the devil has for us, the things that the devil puts out in front of us, the things that God doesn't want us to do, but we look at them and say, well, this isn't a bad thing. And because it's not a bad thing, we go ahead and do it, even though it's not the thing that God wants us to do. And because it's not, it truly is what the devil is getting victory from. He's finding that in a lot of places. He's finding that in our churches. How churches, Brother Rod, I've got to believe you do some traveling. I got to believe that you get into some churches where it seems like the focus is not on Christ anymore. In church. They'll have their volleyball leagues that are intramural softball, and nothing wrong with those things, but if you take the focus off Christ, are you really being successful? I want to take you for a moment. We're going to learn about a couple of things about the devil that you already know. This is nothing new. But I sure do like to go over and over it in the Bible because I believe the minute you stop talking about the devil, he starts to gain victory. Amen. See, to me, I don't want to talk about the devil every day, but I think he ought to be part of the conversation every once in a while. He's very real. You must know this. Just as real as we believe that Jesus Christ is, and he really is, the devil also is very real. The devil may not be omnipresent, but as Brother Hodge always used to say, he's awfully fast. Got a lot of folks working for him. He's got the fallen angels that are innumerable at his disposal. He's got the airwaves to work with. He's got this whole world that he's got under his control. And if you can't see that he's got it under control, boy, you're not looking very hard. The devil's very powerful. But I'm so thankful that greater is he that is within us than he that is within that is in the world. I want to take you to a couple of scriptures in Job. Job chapter 1. Sonia, I want you to stand up. Stand up. Okay, now you can sit down. I just wanted to give you another chance to stand up. That's all. Job 1, verse 12. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Praise the Lord, amen. I'm going to have fun in church tonight. I don't know about any of you, but I'm going to have fun in church. I had Dairy Queen and Domino's this afternoon because Austin Skyver's birthday, I had Dairy Queen. Hey, John, you could have come. Your car was parked out there. You know we eat. You know what time it is. If you don't come, that's on you, brother. Job chapter 1 and verse 12, and the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray tonight. Brother Ed, lead us in prayer, please.
Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we can be here tonight, Lord. Father, we do pray for those who are sick, Lord. We pray you touch them in your mind. Lord, be with our preacher, Lord, and help him.
Yes.
For many others who are sick, they couldn't be here tonight. Now, Lord, I pray you be with Brother Dave tonight as he brings
please.
A message.
Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message tonight, Brother John, is What Satan Cannot Touch. What Satan Cannot Touch. I'm not going to hit all the things that he cannot touch, but understand this. Laying a foundation in one simple statement, the devil cannot touch anything the Lord does not want him to touch. You must understand that.
If the Lord does not want the devil to touch something, the devil's not going to touch it. But there are a couple of things that the devil cannot touch. The Lord's put those guidelines down in our lives that we may cling to them. Now, it's very simple. I want to read you a couple verses. You know the story of Job. I'm not going to take the time to go into the entire story of Job, but know this. Job, in his life, when he was touched, and boy, he was touched by the devil. The Lord allowed him to do things unto Job, trying to convince the Lord that really there's no man that's going to stand worthy. There's Christians really aren't going to do what's right anymore. And let me submit something to you. As a Christian in this world today, you can do right. Let me say that again, because we need to hear this at Bethel Baptist Church. As a Christian, you can do right. Don't you think for 1 minute that this world is too far gone for you to do right. Don't you think for 1 minute that you're too weak for you to do right. Don't you think for 1 minute that there's not enough preaching in the world for you to do right. Don't you think for 1 minute that the Bible is too old-fashioned for you to do right. Don't you think for 1 minute that there's not enough good music in the world for you to do right. Let me explain something to you. If you want to do right, all you got to do is do right. The Lord's given us the ability to do right. Now, I fail in that a lot. I'll be the first one to admit that. I don't want to. But there's a lot of folks that want to. They have desire to not do right. You know what the right is. You know what the wrong is. Now, let me show you a few things in the Scripture. Some things that the devil can't touch. Look at this in the book of Job, starting in chapter 1, verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made him an hedge around him? About his house, about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know the story. The first thing the Lord allowed Satan to touch was his stuff. Now listen, we put a lot of stock in this old world in stuff. A lot of folks would give just about anything they had for their stuff. A lot of folks would do just about anything they could to protect their stuff. We've been dealing in Sunday school about depression. We've been dealing in Sunday school about insecurity. And it's amazing how, if you really boil it down, and I want you to think about this, because I've been really contemplating this. Even what I'm trying to teach you myself in Sunday school, I've been contemplating myself. You can't hold on to anything you have. I would love to tell you that your home is going to be there for 20 years. Your home might be gone now, sitting in this room. Hey, crazier things have happened. But we put all of our stock, and I feel a certain security in my house. I feel a certain security when I'm in my old recliner, sitting in front of my old TV, watching the old Pittsburgh Steelers win a football game. I find security there. I understand that. But you got to realize that that stuff is not secure. That is temporal. Everything that Job had was temporal that the devil messed with right off the bat, including Job's family. He took his family out too. He touched the things that Job had, and I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't have taken me that long to curse God. It wouldn't have taken me that long. Satan was allowed, permitted to touch Job in a certain way, and in my life, there are certain things that the devil could touch that would make me second guess myself. There's things in my life that the devil could touch. There's things in my life that the devil could do. There's things in my life that the devil could get after that would affect me in a way that would take me away from God. And if you'd be honest, they'd affect you too. See, what happens in our life, we believe it. We get older as Christians. We get more mature. I love how close mature is with manure. We get real close, and we think we've arrived. We think we've got all these brains now, and we are above being persecuted. We're so close to God now. I'm on my knees all the time, and I pray, Brother Dave, and when I pray, the Lord comes down. We get to a point in our life when we think understand this. At any moment, you can lose what you have. You can lose what you have. Job had everything taken from him. The devil was able to touch his possessions. There's things in this world that we have that the devil can take. Well, he can't take my health, right? Good Lord have mercy. He can touch your health. Look at this next part. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. We'll start in verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. How many times have we cried out, God, there's wicked people in this world and you blessing them, but I'm doing right. I'm doing the best I can. And God, you're coming against me. I wonder if Jesus felt that way. See, you got to understand something. We look at life and say, what is in it for me? That's the human condition. That's the depravity of man. We look at it for what we can get. We look at it for what is owed to us. We look at it for what we have and what other people have and compare ourselves to them. And because we do those things, the devil's got an easy, easy inlet into our lives. Because we put so much stock in the things that are around us that are temporal and not secure. Because we put so much stock in the things that the devil is allowed to touch. The things that the devil can get to you. If you don't think for 1 minute that the devil's after you, you're crazy. The minute that you get saved, you paint a big target on your back. The devil doesn't want you to do right. The devil doesn't want you to do good. And what's sad is we get blush-faced when we talk about the devil anymore. He's real today. Two times we went into scripture real quick, and the devil says, I'm walking to and fro in the earth. Why? Because he wants to see whom he may devour. He's real. He really has affected you at some time or another. He really has affected me in some time or another. The question is, do we recognize that? Do we see what's taking us away from God? I'm not going to apologize for wanting people to serve God. I'm not going to apologize for that. It doesn't fit in my schedule. We'll get a new schedule. See, we talk all the time, well, I'd love to come to church, but I can't because of my schedule. Understand this, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God fitted in his plan to come and walk to Calvary Road. I'm so thankful that the Lord saw fit that, you know what, I'm having a good time up here in heaven, but I'm going to have to go experience the world for a while. I'm going to have to go walk this earth. I'm going to have to be born in a manger. I'm going to have to leave the glories and splendors of heaven to come down here to this earth and die for people who hate me. I'm glad he could fit me in his schedule. We use that as a punchline. You've heard that probably all the years of your life being in church, you've heard how you're supposed to serve God. But you know what it boils down to? And I can't get around this fact. You're not going to serve God until you want to. You're not. Nobody's going to bully you into serving God. Nobody's going to bully you. I don't care how big the preacher is, how mean he sounds. I don't care how much he spits on you, steps on your toes. Until you're going to do it, you're not going to do it.
That's right.
And what's amazing is we think that there's not going to be a payday. The devil can touch you. There's some things he can't touch. But he can touch you. He can touch you and get you off track. He can touch you and get you to do things that you ought not do, even if they're good things. He touched his possessions. And then he touched his person, took his health away. Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He gave him boils, and he touched him. Look at what it says here. This, I could just feel the pain when he talks about this. Satan answered the Lord in verse 4 and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. The devil was allowed to touch his flesh. The devil was allowed to touch his health. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. Now, I don't know about you. I've never had a sore boil. You may have had a sore boil. And a sore boil probably drove you straight nuts. The one or two. I don't know how many of you have had. Can you imagine them having them from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head? And ask God why? So you got to understand something. Up until this time, Job was God's man. He was a man that feared God and escheweth evil. He was a man that offered up for his family just because he thought that maybe, Brother Rod, just maybe they thought in their heart something wrong. Just maybe they thought against God some way. And he wanted to make sure that he offered for their sin as well, because he wanted to make sure that his family was right before. I would to God we'd care about our families being right before God. And the devil got inside, and the devil was able to do things, and the Lord gave him permission to touch him, but he was able to touch him in his health. He stole away his family. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know a person in here wouldn't die for their family. You touch my kid, I want you to do it. One time I'll die for my family. I couldn't even imagine losing my son. I couldn't even imagine losing my daughters. I couldn't even imagine losing them all in the same moment. The devil was allowed to touch him. And he touched him in a way that was supposed to break him. I want you to hear me tonight. He was allowed to touch him in a way that was supposed to break him. How close are you to being broken? As a Christian person, how close are you to, would it take just one more touch for you to leave church? Think about that with me now. What would it take? Because you don't go to church because of Pastor Skyver. If you do, that's a terrible reason to come to church. You ought not go to church to hear Brother Rod and Miss Debbie sing, although they're a blessing. But if you come to church to hear the singing, that's a terrible reason to come to church. You may come to church because the ladies here know how to cook and we have good potlucks. We're Baptists. That's in our bylaws. But if that's why you come to church, that's a terrible reason to come to church. You may come to church because you got kids in the Christian school. If you come to church because you got kids in the Christian school, you'll plan on leaving church real soon, I can promise you. You got to understand something. You ought not come to church because of people. You ought to come to church because of a person. And if you start coming to church for that person, I bet you'll start coming to church more often. The devil was allowed to touch him and it was supposed to break him. How close are you to being broken? How close are you to giving up? How close are you to giving in? How close? If you could see that it was the enemy touching you, and I'm not saying that it is. The Lord could be chastising you. You could be just going through because you're in a sin-cursed world. But if you knew it was the devil, if you knew that it was him trying to get you down, would you allow it? Knowing that greater is he that is within you, would you be willing? See, I got to understand something here about Job. Job went through these tests. And yes, by the way, the book of Job, Job was bitter. If you read the book of Job, Job was a man, a sinful man, and he trusted God, and he did not sin against God and charge God foolishly, but he was bitter. Read in here. Read your Bible. Satan was allowed to touch him, and he didn't understand it. He didn't understand it. There's a lot of times I don't understand why God does what he does. Thank God I don't understand. I've made this statement a lot, Brother Bob Edwards, but I got to believe that this is the way it ought to be. Brother, if I could figure God out, how smart would he be? I don't consider myself to be a moron, but I hope that God's smarter than I am. I hope that I don't understand what God does when he does it. There's things I don't understand. Sometimes the Lord lets Satan touch that I don't understand the touch. But the touch was there. Does it make sense that Satan was allowed to touch Job? That makes sense, does it? But I will tell you this. How many people have found comfort and solace in the book of Job? Come on now. How many people have found great learning in the book of Job? How many years have we talked about Job? How many years have we said, man, what a great man. I wish I could aspire to be him. How many times have we looked at the book of Job and found strength there? How many times have we, if you had to have one word that went with Job, what would it be? It always is this word. You have the of Job. The patience of Job. How many people have looked to find patience of Job? How many people have looked in this book and found, and let me tell you something right now, Job's life made a huge difference. I wonder if your life's going to make any difference. Even if Satan touches your life, will you then be broken for God and no use? Or will you not be broken for God? That's really what it boils down to, isn't it? He was allowed to touch his possession. He was allowed to touch his person. And look at Job chapter 10. I want to see if you can feel this. I these verses, in my opinion, sum up, I would bet 50% of the Christians that are in this world today and maybe in this room. But I want you to hear this. This is a man that fears God and escheweth evil. This is a man that believed in God, had faith in God. And these are the words that he says. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Job was reviewing his life. Is there something that I've done wrong? And I believe that's a good place for you to start. Is it wrong to review yourself? Is it wrong to say, God, am I doing something that is amiss here? Oh my, how many problems I would have avoided if I'd have looked in the mirror first. That preaches right there. I'm glad you didn't say amen. Because I bet you everybody has mirrors at home. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress? That thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands? You are the work of his hands. And shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh. Thou hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hidden thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up mine head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. Have you ever said, these are good words. If I haven't said them, I've thought them. For it increaseth, thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increases thy indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore, then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb. Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may comfort a little before I go, whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness is darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Listen, does that sound like the patient Job? Come on, is that the Job that you've got? But Job is perfect. Job was a man. But he did not charge God foolishly. He did not do things out of bounds. God knew who he was. Now listen, you may not understand what I'm going to get at here, but you need to realize something. the Lord may allow Satan to touch things in your life and you may question God. But you understand this. God loves you. It may not have anything to do with sin. It may not have anything to do with going against God. It may just be specifically to show you off. Have you considered my servant Eddie? Have you considered my servant Kativer? Have you considered my servant Carl? Have you considered my servant Phil? Have you considered my servant Liz? Have you considered my servant Miss Debbie? Have you considered my servant? I want you to watch. As they go through this world, watch them hold their head up and be Christian. Have you considered my servant? I want you to turn to the end, and I'm almost done. Satan was allowed to touch his possessions. He was allowed to touch his person. But glory to God, there's some things that he cannot touch. And I want to show them to you. In Job chapter 42, in verse 7, and I'm doing one point. I just want you to see one thing. I know there's a lot of teaching in Job. I'm well aware that there's messages upon messages upon messages, but I just want you to see the beginning and the end. Verse 7, the Bible says, and it was so, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Why? My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. Now, I'm not speaking of gossip, although I don't think gossip is right. I think gossip kills people. I'm not talking about backbiting, because I think backbiting is a serious cancer that starts in the person that does the biting. And then it just infects the person that gets bit. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about how he blasted Job in the middle of his ash heap. I'm not talking about that when Job was at his lowest, his three friends came along and fried him. I'm not talking about that. The Lord said, you spoke of me that which was not right. Here's something that the devil cannot touch. Here's something that the devil cannot touch. Oh, you may say after I tell you, but I'll correct you right away. There's something that the devil cannot touch. The devil cannot touch the Word of God. I said the devil cannot touch the Word of God. Well, Brother Dave, you don't understand. There's 164 different perversions out there. That's not the devil's fault. That might be the devil's doing, but we did that. By the way, can I ask you a question? Is Psalm 12, 6, and 7 still true? The words of the Lord are pure words. The silver tried in the furnace of earth purified seven times. Now, what's this next verse say? It's so intriguing to me that the NIV changes, that thou wilt keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. That's what the NIV says in Psalm 12, 7. The Bible says, thou shalt keep them, talking about his word. Thou shalt keep them from this generation until we get smart enough to make our own. Satan, you cannot touch the truth of God. Man, you cannot touch the truth of God. Sin, you cannot touch the truth of God. Perversion, you cannot touch the truth of God. If you've got the truth of God, it is the truth of God. And there's nothing you can do to change it. I am the Lord. I change not. You can't change it. You can't touch it. Satan cannot touch it. Now listen, we've fallen prey, and the devil has done a wonderful job to distract us into untruth and fables. Having itching ears, we've gone after such things. But I've got news for you. When you start to get preachers that are so brilliant that they can correct the Bible in front of you, you need to run. You get a preacher that's up here that's so eloquent in the Greek that he tells you that it doesn't mean what it actually says. You run. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's not man smart enough. Not man smart enough to make this any better. How can you fix perfection? Here's something that the devil can't touch. The devil can't touch God's word. Can't touch it. He can try, but it's still here, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. If the devil could have gotten rid of it, it'd have been gone. Come on now. If the devil could have got rid of it, he would have, and it'd have been gone. But it's still here. Now, it's not being as loud as it used to be. I got to be honest with you. We're not excited about it like we used to be. Oh, we get excited here. And I'm ornery. I have discussions about this weekly with folks that are my friends that can't believe I stand on the old Bible. And they still ask me, why? You'd fill your pews if you went to something else. No, I wouldn't. I'd still have empty pews with empty people. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to stay with the old book until it's laying in my grave just like this. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up to heaven and grab me a copy there. Amen. The devil can't touch God's promises. Can't touch him. Can't touch him. Look what else he can't touch, and I'm all done. And there's more. Please don't misread me. There's more. But there's two things here. We as Christians do not go after these promises that God gives us, the promises contained in this lively oracle that we hold in our hands. Don't you tell me that we go after this like we should. Don't you tell me you read this like you should. Don't you tell me that. Don't you tell me you devote enough time to this Bible. You're a liar. Don't you tell me that. You need to devote more time to this, and you know it in your heart. You know you need to do it. A lot of you, this book is gathering dust at your home. A lot of you don't even have it in your hands tonight, and I think that's a shame and sad. And you can get mad at me all you want to, but if your boss gave you a letter and said, you better hold on to this, it means life or death, you'd hold on to that letter. Come on, you'd hold on to that letter. If your boss told you, Brother Rod, if your boss, well, you're your boss, so if you wrote yourself a letter, if your boss wrote you a letter and said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll give you a $100,000 raise if you read this letter every day. Boy, this is good preaching. I'm going to stay here right for a minute. If your boss gave you a letter, said, I'll give you $1 million raise, Kativa, right from the government, so you know the money's pretty good. If you just hold this army book and you read it every single day for one whole year, if you read it, I'll give you a $100,000 raise. What would you do? Yeah. In the Bible, it says, search the scriptures. Why does it say that, Brother Rod? For in them you think you have eternal life. And then, you can say amen louder than that now. Amen. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, if I gave you a letter that said, Brother, if you read this letter for a solid year, it'll get you eternal life. Well, Brother Dave, I got to say, I don't need to read it anymore. I'm good. I got saved. That's it. I'm done. You don't even know what God's promises are. The devil can't touch God's promises, but you don't even know what they are. The devil can't touch God's promises, but you don't even know what they are. You got no idea because you won't open the letter. You'd open a letter from your worldly boss to give you $2 million. You'd have $2 million spent in a month. You know how many poor people are in this room right now? $2 million, we'd all be best friends. You'd have the money spent in a minute. And then what? At the end of the money, what do you have? Receipts. And probably more bills. But you'd read that letter. I didn't even have that planned. You'd read that letter. Would you read that letter? Satan can't touch God's promises. Look at the next one. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. and I and for him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right. He says it again, doesn't he? But there's one thing there that the devil could not touch. There's one thing there, not only God's promises, and I'm all done. There's another thing that the devil cannot touch. I like this. The devil cannot touch your prayer. The devil cannot touch your prayer. Oh, you may get distracted. You may stop praying. You may ask amiss. But if you're praying to God, do you realize that's an open line of communication that cannot be severed? Now, come on now. It cannot be severed. If I was to sit here and talk to Brother Rod, eventually somebody could interrupt us. Somebody could stop us. I don't care if I was so focused in on him that all I saw was him and he heard me and I heard him. I don't care if we had headphones back and forth with mouthpieces and all we could hear is us. Eventually we could get interrupted. But God cannot be interrupted in hearing you. God cannot be interrupted from you uttering a prayer to him saying, oh God, I need you. And throughout Job needed God and God heard it all the time. Because the devil could touch his possessions. The devil could touch his physical health. He could touch his family. He could take all those things away. But he could not take away his promises. And he could not take away Job's prayer. The Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you know that's a promise of God? That's a promise that he cannot take away. The devil cannot touch that. And glory to God, not only can't touch God's promises, he can't touch God's prayer. Your prayer to God can't be touched by the devil. Glory to God, one day, the devil's not even going to be able to touch God's possession. And that's you. For you are bought with a price. The Lord bought you. The Lord bought Job. And I know this is nothing new, but I want you to turn into scripture with me. I want you to see something. And we're all done. We'll pray. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I was going to try to quote it, but I want you to see it. 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? How's your renovations coming? Huh? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. It is in you. That's a promise of God, by the way. Satan can't touch that. He can't remove the Holy Ghost out of you. The Holy Ghost can't, you can't even run him out. Because no man shall be able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man shall be able to pluck you out of my hand. You can't even pluck yourself out. Thank God. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God owns you. Whether you like it or not, God owns you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Why? For you, yes, it's a promise of God, and the devil can't touch it. I'm going to tell you right now, you've got to understand something. God's plan for Job was to show him off. God's plan was to show the devil, you may think that you can defeat any Christian. You may think that you can defeat any person. You may think that with your wiles that you can take somebody away and get them so far away from God that they can never come back. But my promise says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My promise says, I will be with him until the end. My promise says, I'll never give him a temptation that he can't overcome. My promise says, you're more than conquerors through me. My promise says, Christian, tonight, God's promise that the devil cannot touch is you will be victorious if you seek out God. sad thing is we don't even know how. We've never read the Bible. We're so wrapped up in what the world can give us. We're so wrapped up in our possession. What happens? It's easy for me to think about because my car just got stolen. Not just now. So don't run out. You know the feeling? Have you ever had the feeling of getting one of your possessions taken from you? It's violating. It is weird. Do you know that that's temporal? And you don't have the promise of keeping it? I want you to show me in the Bible where you've got a promise of keeping the things that you have. That's not a promise of God. God said he will provide what? What did he say he would provide? Your needs. Your needs. You may get everything else taken away. You say, well, wait a minute. He took everything away from Job. Oh, no, he didn't. Think about this now. This is good stuff, and I'm all done. I keep telling you I'm all done. You say he took away everything from Job. What did Job need? He needed God's promises. And he needed to be able to pray to an almighty God that loves you tonight. There's things that the devil cannot touch. The other things are, sorry, they're free game. The Lord will put a hedge of protection around you, but what does the Lord promise you? The Lord has promised you that he would keep you. He would provide for you. He would take care of your needs. You know what, Christian? There's things that the devil cannot touch. I would to God we'd be more worried about the things of God that we can touch. What can we do? We can pray to an almighty God that loves us. We can do things for him because he's bought us and he owns us. We can do our best to speak his name and to not charge him foolishly. It doesn't say you have to be perfect. Job was a sinner. So are you. And God loves you because of who you are. I can't say that enough. Because of who you are. I've heard preachers preach in spite of who you are. No! He loves you because of who you are. He made you. He loves you. Why don't you believe that tonight? Why don't you believe that God loves you? Instead of shaking your fist at him, why are you doing this to me, God? Why are you doing this? Because there's things that the devil can touch. And yes, the Lord has to give him permission, but there's things the devil can touch. But I wonder if God's just not trying to show you off a little bit. I thank God he can't touch God's promises. Do you know what they are? I'm so thankful that he can't touch prayer. Do you know what it is? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this night. Lord, I thank you for your blessed promises in your scripture. I thank you for this small Bible study. Lord, this is nothing new. This is nothing that's earth-shattering or groundbreaking. But, oh Lord God, please help us to cling to you in a very real way. Help us to realize that you have promises if we would just get into the Bible and read what they are. Help us to realize that we cannot get caught up in laying claim to this world because this world is not ours. We have a place being prepared for us that's ours. And you've bought it for us and made it for us. And I can't wait to get there. But until I do, Lord, please help me to look to you. And help me to realize there's things that I can be secure in. Things that I can lay my faith in. And Lord God, those are found in your wonderful scripture, your wonderful truth. Lord, please help me to just divulge myself in it. And oh God, help me to pray to you. Help me to talk to you. Oh God, I don't talk to you enough. Please help me to look to you more and open up the power that is prayer. And Lord, be with our people tonight in a very real way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm going to say with an uplifted hand, no doubt about it, there's another thing that the devil cannot touch, and that's your salvation. If you know for sure that you're going to heaven, 100%, can you put your hand up real big and tall? You may put them down. My friend, there's going to be a day when we get into glory that the devil have no hold on us whatsoever anymore. The devil will be cast into that eternal lake of fire, and I'm so thankful that I am on the winning side. But that's not now. Right now, we live in a world that's very difficult. We live in a world that's full of sin, and we do not have to do the things that we say we have to do. We have to realize that there's some things that we can do as Christians. We can get into God's promises. We can get into God's book. And I don't know that I could have laid my hands on or laid my eyes on every single person in this room, but I don't know that everybody's hand went up. And my friend, there's one special promise. If you're lost in here today, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, 100% sure, there's a promise in this scripture that the Lord will save you. And you can hold on to that promise for eternity. So how many can say, you know, Brother Dave, I'm not sure, but I sure would like to know. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Put your hands up real big and tall. Real big and tall. I see that one. Is there another? Dear Lord, I pray for these people in a special way. Lord, please help me. Oh God, help me to rely on you. I am nothing of my own. Lord, I've got to cling to your promises. I've got to cling to your truth. I've got to cling to prayer. Lord, I've got to seek you more. Help me. Because, Lord, this world is not getting easier, but you told us it wasn't going to get easier. Lord, this world is getting more sin-filled, and you said it would. Lord, help us to recognize those things. Help us to see them. And, Lord God, help us to be with you in a special way today, better than we have been. Help us to seek you out better than we have. And, Lord God, please be with us a special way tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Brother Mark, what song are we on tonight? Let's all stand as we sing number 359.